Don't you wanna go to that land? Don't you wanna go to that land? Don't you wanna go to that land where I'm bound? Oh yeah.
You know, it's just always so encouraging to be hanging out with the Frederick Church. Love to be here. Love to be with you guys. It's a lot of fun. So on the past week or so, actually last week, we had a sermon and we were talking about things that help us grow in our relationship with God. And we asked this question, do you want to grow or mature in your personal relationship with God? And we talked about some basic things that are part of being intentional in our discipleship with Jesus Christ. And we talked about the whole idea that discipleship is not something that you do by accident or that you trip into, but that following Jesus is something that you do on purpose. And we made some points, right? We talked about planning for our discipleship. In fact, Isaiah 32 verse 8 says the noble man makes noble plans. And so we plan for our discipleship. We talked about practicing. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So we practice for our discipleship. Right. We talked about persevering in our discipleship. Hebrews 10:35-36. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. We talked about promoting our discipleship. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, when Jesus gave the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, and teach them to obey everything that He commanded them. And by the way, speaking about promoting your discipleship, we have some invitations out on the chairs. Every few weeks we put them out there for you. These are for you, just to help you in reaching out to people and inviting people out to church. So take however many you want. We also talked about praying for our discipleship. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. So this week we're moving on past that, and we're going to do part two. And this week we're going to be talking about another word that begins with P to go along with praying, promoting, persevering, practicing, and planning. And this week what we're going to talk about is actually being passionate about our discipleship of Jesus Christ. That's the sixth word with the letter P that we're going to talk about. What does it mean to be passionate? It means that you're showing a state of strong feeling or strong belief. Synonyms of the word passionate are words like intense, to be intense about our relationship with God. Fiery, to be on fire for our relationship with God. To have a heartfelt relationship with God. Excited, to be excited about your relationship with God. Consuming, to be consumed by your relationship with God. And that's a great question for us to ask ourselves today. Am I consumed by my relationship with God today? In Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, after seeing how Jesus was acting, His disciples started thinking about it, and the scriptures say, His disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. Jesus was known for being consumed by zeal for God's house. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Nelson Mandela has this great quote. He said, there is no passion to be found playing small and settling for a life that is less than the one you are capable of. Being passionate about our relationship with God is not comparing ourselves to what everyone else does or what everyone else can do, but it is to ask this question. Am I giving everything that I have with the gifts and the talents and the resources that God has made me capable of? Am I giving all of that for God because I'm giving Him everything that I have? This is what it means to be passionate in our relationship with God. Now this begs the question though. that we might ask, how do I live a passionate or a zealous life for God? And how do I keep those passionate fires burning and stoked up and flamed up? And we're just going to talk about a couple of ways to do that today. There's a lot of things that we could talk about this, but we're just going to bring up two. One of them is to make sure we develop a knowledge of God and His will. The importance of developing a knowledge of God and understanding what His will is critical in being passionate and zealous for God. The second one is pretty simple. Avoid the things that harden our hearts towards God and embrace the things that stoke up the fires of our relationship with God. So let's look at the first one. Develop a knowledge of God and His will. It's really interesting because in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 2, it says, it is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. You know, we could be the most zealous person in the world. We could be extremely zealous about our beliefs and about whatever our faith is and whatever our biblical ideas are. But if we're wrong, then that's not good to be zealous about the wrong thing. It's important for us to have knowledge of the Word and will of God. It says that we shouldn't be hasty and miss the way. We could just take off and go so fast down this road of what we believe or what we want to do or what we think we need to do for God without actually taking the time to know and understand what is God's will for our lives as disciples. It reminds me of one time when I was hiking the Appalachian Trail with some friends of mine. And we were hiking along, and sometimes you come to these points where there's more than one direction that you could go. There's a trail that goes this way, and there's a trail that goes that way. And every once in a while, when we were tired and we just didn't really feel like dealing with it, we would just head headlong down this trail. And we'd go down, sometimes for an hour or so. And then we would realize we're on the wrong trail. And then we'd have to turn around and walk all the way back the hour to get back onto the right trail. See, we can have zeal without knowledge and find ourselves going down the wrong path in our relationship with God. The Bible provides an example for us of zeal without knowledge in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 and 2. And it says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. You know, this is amazing. Anybody who spent any time reading in the New Testament, and we find out that the number one people who were harassing Jesus and His disciples were actually the Israelites. Now, Jesus was the Messiah of the Israelites. Jesus was actually the fulfillment of all of their biblical prophecies and teachings. And yet, they ran right past Him and missed it. And instead, they were zealous for their own traditions and their own ideas instead of being zealous for the actual words of God. And they ran right past the truth. And when we say they were zealous, we're not joking. I mean, when we say these Israelites, that we often think, oh, these Pharisees and these Sadducees and these religious leaders, they were just, you know, not devoted. No, these people were devoted. I mean, they had these programs in place to develop their leadership and their ministry people. And there were people, they would memorize, for example, the first five books of the Old Testament. Can you imagine memorizing the first five books of the Old Testament? I mean, the book of Genesis is the first one. That's pretty rough right there. That's a very long book. I mean, they had people who actually would memorize that. They had people who memorized the book of Leviticus, for example. They were zealous about this. They weren't messing around in what they were doing. And yet, they were so zealous, but they were wrong about the teachings of God. And we find out in Romans 10 and verse 3, some of the ways that happened were they established their own moral code instead of holding on to God's. Yeah. This is a really big temptation for us, okay? It is a very big temptation for us to establish our own moral code. In other words, for us to think about, honestly, we'll look at our life and we'll think about what's easier for us and we'll decide that must be what the Bible teaches. A lot of times what the Bible teaches actually isn't the easiest thing. A lot of times what the Bible teaches is hard It's challenging. It doesn't go along with what we're comfortable with. And so we'll just decide that that's not what the Bible teaches anymore. And we'll just come up with our own moral code instead of holding ourselves to the very high standards of the Scriptures. And they're very high. A lot of times we'll use other teachings to try to make excuses for the way that we live our life. Because we all understand that we're sinners. We all understand that we're imperfect. God provides grace for us to deal with our imperfection. We all understand that. But sometimes we can take that so far that just go, hey, God understands, so He doesn't really mind if I live this way. God understands, so He doesn't really mind if I do these things or I take this approach towards life. Okay? When we do that, God does understand. He understands that we no longer are passionate about our love for Him and that we're cutting corners because we are losing, we're fading away, we're hardening our hearts. Yes, He forgives us when we sin, but He expects us to be zealous and passionate and wholehearted in our efforts to do what is right before Him. You know, rather than living by faith, the Israelites chose to follow a system of religious traditions. And this is another thing that's easy for us to do. We'll just come up with four or five things in our mind. As long as we're doing those four or five things, then we'll just feel great about our relationship with God. Oh, did I get baptized? Oh, I got baptized. I must be okay. Everything's all right. I did that. You know, am I regularly attending church on Sunday? Oh, I'm regularly attending church on Sunday. So, you know, that must mean that I'm okay. Do I believe the Bible is the words of God? Oh, absolutely. I believe the Bible is the words of God. I may not be trying to follow it, but I believe it's the words of God. You know, so that's okay. I mean, you know, we'll come up with four or five things. You know, I give some money to the contribution every week. I do, or whatever, once a month or however I do it. And I do that. So, and we'll come up with these four or five things, and then we'll decide that those, because I'm doing those things or I've done those things, that must mean that I am living in a great relationship with God. Rather than living by faith, which requires a day in and day out relationship, which causes you to grow and continue to grow, as it was put, as Paul put it, being made in the image of Jesus with ever increasing glory. And this is exactly what the Israelites did. And what did it result in the end? What it resulted for the Israelites in the end was their idea about what it actually meant to love God and to know God, to have a relationship with Him. Their idea had faded far away from what was actually true. And they were zealous about it. They were just simply wrong. What else did it mean for them? It meant that their lives no longer reflected the glory of God. As a nation and as individuals, their lives began to fade away. The glory of God began to fade away. And the Israelites no longer stood out. They weren't standing out as this incredibly bright contrast to the world that was around them. Instead, they were just an awful lot like everybody else in town. And that's a tragedy. Why does that happen? Well, for some of them, it was just a lack of knowledge. You can read that in Romans chapter 10, too. For some of them, it was just a lack of knowledge. They didn't know. They didn't know. For some of us, it can become a lack of knowledge, too, because we aren't pursuing God's Word on a daily basis, because we aren't coming to Bible classes that we have, because we don't do the homework, because we don't make the effort to get together with other people and have Bible study. Because we aren't taking the time to read books and getting better in our understanding of God's Word. Because we don't seek advice on how to grow in our knowledge of God's Word. Because we're too busy doing other things that we are more passionate about and have become more important to us than our relationship with God. For others, it was a lack of heart. They actually knew what the Bible said. They just simply didn't believe it anymore. They didn't care. In fact, they argued over the resurrection. They were arguing over the fact that Jesus raised from the dead. How could He actually really have done that? They were arguing over the fact that Jesus was to be the Lord of their life. You know, why should we make Jesus the Lord of our life? And so whether it was just their ignorance of the knowledge of the Word of God, or whether it was the hard heart where they no longer really cared to follow the Word of God, the Israelites were missing out. They were running past the path that God had put for them to grow and to know Him. And why did they do this ultimately? It says in Romans 10, verse 21, concerning Israel, he says this, "All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people." They became disobedient and obstinate. That means they were hard-headed. They didn't want to obey. They no longer wanted to do the will of God. Their religion was just part of their culture. It was just a habit. It was just what they did. It didn't mean to them what God intended for it to mean to them. Ultimately, they didn't want to have a change of heart for God. They didn't want to have a change of life for God anymore. They were no longer passionate in their love for God. Today we're talking about being passionate about our discipleship of Jesus Christ. The first point was to develop a knowledge of God and His Word. We gave some ideas already. Daily Bible study. You know, make your best to be able to attend classes that we have on the Bible. Make every effort, if you don't make the classes, to go on the website and read the classes and do the homework and learn. You know, take some time out of your life to invest in knowing God's Word. Take some time out of your life to invest in growing in your knowledge and understanding of God Himself. Read some books. Listen to some tapes. I guess we don't listen to tapes anymore. We listen to MP3s and those kind of things. Listen to those things. Whatever. Make the effort to know and understand God's will for your life. Point number two. Avoid things that harden our hearts and embrace things that fire us up for God. We're talking about how to be passionate for God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 says that we are to hate what is evil and we are to cling to what is good. That word hate in the Greek is misio. And it's just this right feeling of having an aversion towards things that are evil. Hate is a very strong word to use. To hate the things that are evil. You know, it doesn't mean to just sort of, you know, not like the things that are evil, or, you know, to just tolerate the things, or you prefer if the evil things weren't there. It means to hate them, to have aversion and aversion towards those things. What kind of things pull me away from my relationship with God is a good question to ask. What are the things that tend to pull me down spiritually? I have a list of some potential suggestions. How about a relationship? Is there a relationship in your life that tends to pull you down spiritually? How about a group of people? Is there a group of people that when you spend a lot of time with them, you tend to just really not be as fired up for God? How about an activity? Something that you do that pulls you away from being zealous and passionate about your relationship with God? How about a habit or an addiction that you have that's pulling you away from your relationship with God? What about in an environment? There's a certain place you go, or a certain kind of place you go, that tends to drag you down spiritually. How about a character weakness? There's something in your character that's there that you know you've needed to change for a long time, and you really haven't changed it, and it pulls you down in your relationship with God. How about sins of commission? What are sins of commission? Those are sins that we do, right? Those are sins that we commit. We can read about them in multiple places throughout the Bible. But some sin that we do that has just been dogging our life and pulling us down in our relationship with God. How about sins of omission? This is really big for people who have been around the church for a long time. We start not doing the things that we know we need to do. And it's hardening our hearts. And we start redefining the Bible and redefining discipleship and redefining the Christian life to make it fit what we are doing instead of what the Bible actually says. Sins of omission. And they harden our hearts every time we decide not to share our faith, or we decide not to confess our sin, or we decide not to confront our brother, or we decide not to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, or we decide to not be involved in the activities of the church. All these things that wear us down, we decide not to read our Bibles. We decide not to pray. Sins of omission that harden our hearts. There are even good things that become a distraction to us. Perfectly good things that there's nothing wrong with them except for the fact that they are a distraction to our spirituality. And all these things, the Bible tells us, hey, develop a healthy aversion to all of those things. you know. And the thought of those things should make you start feeling a little bit nauseous. You know, you should just be running from those things, staying away from those people, staying out of those situations, doing whatever you have to do, because they pull down your relationship with God. Another time when I was hiking on the Appalachian Trail, I had met up with some people. I was hiking with two other guys. There were three of us hiking. I met up with this other group of people, maybe five or six of them, and for a couple of days we were all heading north, so we hiked together. And we hiked to the top of this mountain called Blood Mountain. And at the top of that mountain, there was this stone building. And you could stay in this stone building and sort of be out of the elements, had a fireplace. And it was a place that you could stay for the night. And so there was a whole bunch of us, maybe 15 of us, staying in this stone building. And I'd gotten a reputation because I spent a lot of my life hiking and backpacking. So I did have a lot of experience, and people knew I had a lot of experience. And one night, so we're in this stone building, and it's late. Everybody's sleeping. And all of a sudden, there's this light on the other side of the stone building. I'm like, you know, it caught my attention. I'm like, who's got their flashlight on? It's late. What's going on here? And then all of a sudden, the guy said, "I think I hear something." And I'm like, I wonder what he hears. He's like, "I hear a noise." And that, at this point, everybody in the building was now awake. You know, he's shining his light. He's like, "I hear something." Everyone else heard the noise too. It was just like, you hear that? And everyone was like, "Oh my gosh, I hope there's not a bear out there. What's going on? You know, what's this noise?" He's like, "I hear something." And then he goes, "Wait, it's a skunk. I see a skunk. It's on the other side of the building. There's a skunk in here." We're like, "Oh no, this is going to be an interesting night right here." Right? "I see a skunk." So he's shining his flashlight on the skunk. And then every time he shines the light on the skunk starts coming towards him. He's like, "The skunk's coming towards me." And he shines his light over to me. "The skunk's coming towards me." Shines his light back at the skunk. "The skunk's coming at me." And finally he goes, "Steve, the skunk is coming after the light. What should I do?" The only thing I could think of to say was, "Turn off the light." I said, "Turn off the light." He turned off the light and the skunk went away. It was awesome. But you know what? That's exactly... sometimes the things that we need to do, okay, to help our relationship with God stay passionate, the answer is really not that complicated. Just turn off the light. Just stop doing the thing or hanging with the people or going to the places that are dragging us down spiritually.
Come on.
And this is a big thing we can do if we want to be passionate in our relationship with God. Well, all right, there's some things we need to avoid, right? But the Bible also says to cling to that which is good, right?
Yes.
Ask this question. What tends to inspire me to be passionate in my relationship with God? It's the same. You could go down the same list, couldn't you? I think of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 44. You know, where they were just having this awesome fellowship. And everybody was just fired up. And it was so encouraging. They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? They were having all this fellowship, meeting from house to house. They were being devoted to prayer. And they were sharing their possessions and taking care of one another. This awesome spiritual fellowship that was just firing them up. And it was causing the Lord to add to their number daily those who were being saved. That's something that inspires us and helps us to be more passionate in our relationship with God. I think about being consistent. You know, when we practice the spiritual disciplines in our life consistently, when we regularly are reading the Bible and striving to do what it says, when we're regularly taking out our time together to pray and be with the Lord, when we're regularly confessing our sins, when we're regularly giving of our time and our money to serve the Lord, when we're regularly learning and growing by studying the Word and making changes in our life, all kinds of things, when we're consistent at it. It's being consistent that helps us to grow, and it fires up the passions that we have inside of us. When we're putting His Word into practice, I mean, there's one thing to learn God's Word and to hear God's Word, but when you are putting God's Word into practice and you're seeing the fruit of God's Word coming true in your life, it just fires you up. It just stokes up your faith and makes you want to do more and grow in your walk with God. Maybe there are some special places that you go That you go there to pray, you go there to read, you go there to spend time in fellowship, you go there to meditate. All these things that we can implement into our life, these things that cause us to cling to what is good, these things that fire us up, inspire us to do what is right, the things that inspire us to be passionate in our relationship with God. And I bet you can think of many things. I could ask you this question. What inspires you in your relationship with God? Those are the things that you should be running towards and running for and clinging to. While you're running away from the things that distract you and pull you down spiritually in your life. And we see this happen in the youth and family ministry all the time. They love it when they go to camp. They get inspired. They love it when they go to retreats. They get inspired. They love it when the groups from around the area all get together and they get inspired with one another. They love it when they get out and serve, like in Summer to Remember, or when they're sharing their faith and they're seeing fruit coming from that. They love these things. But it's not just the teens. It's everybody else as well. These things are inspiring to us. So in conclusion, over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about being intentional in our growing relationship with God. Last week, what we observed was that intentional discipleship included planning, practicing, persevering, promoting, and praying about our discipleship. This week, we talked about intentional discipleship as being passionate about our relationship with God. To be passionate for God requires that we have a knowledge of God's Word and of God's will for our life. To be passionate for God requires that we learn to literally hate what is evil, to flee from what is evil, to have an aversion from the things that tear us down in our spiritual life. And on the opposite side of the coin, to run towards, to cling towards, to embrace those things that build us up spiritually in our life. Now, we might be passionate about a number of different things in our life, but above all else, let's leave determined to be passionate about our relationship with God. Thank you.